Welcome to Crappy Friends, the podcast that discusses female friendships, the good, the bad, the ugly.
Girl power defeating bitchery since 2018.
I'm New York Times bestselling author Kristen Higgins.
And I'm USA Today bestselling author Joss Day.
And we're best friends. Hi, Joss.
Hi.
That was a lovely dinner we had.
I was just thinking that.
Yeah, that was good.
Mr. T is a fab cook,
man. McIrish cooked us dinner.
Oh, my gosh.
Princess is home on break.
Yes.
So,
delicious cocktails. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've discovered a new recipe. And yes, I will post it on my Facebook page. You're welcome. So, we have a juicy letter this week, Joss. If you don't mind, I would love to read it.
I would love to hear you read it.
Okay. Dear ladies, I love your podcast and listen to it on the train home from work every Friday, sometimes cackling uncontrollably at your comments and the embarrassing personal problems. Joss, congratulations on your grace, poise, and elegance.
Thank you.
And Kristen, get to work on that. So here's my problem, and my friend is not crappy, just to be clear. It's that her life is utter crap. All the time.
Mm-hmm.
My friend, let's call her Angelica, not her real name, is a good, smart, kind person, and we've been friends since I first moved to town like 15 years ago. But she's always in distress of some kind. She has 4 kids, 2 in their 20s, 2 late teens, and 3 of them are trouble. DUIs, flunking out of college, lying, drinking, stealing. Angelica has a good job, but always fears she's on the verge of being laid off. If there's a storm, a tree will fall on her house. If it's icy, one of her kids will crash the car. If she gets a kitten, it will die. We're evil. We're laughing.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. God bless you, kitten. Seriously. She's had health problems, family problems, has a sick dad she takes care of. Her mom died unexpectedly about 10 years ago. She has had it rough.
Mm-hmm.
She and her husband split long ago, and he has another family and has basically written off his other kids, so it's just her. One of her kids is great, but she's off in grad school. The others are louts. Regarding our friendship, Angelica tries not to be the center of attention all the time. Like she'll say, "Did you like the movie?" or "How was your trip?" But her life is so full of unwanted drama that inevitably the conversation turns to her. I live what you ladies call a happy and boring life. Nice husband, childless by choice, good job in finance, security, vacations, material comfort. I'm not close to my family of origin. Another letter coming soon. But I'm at peace with that. My husband travels for work and we have an unusual setup, but it works well for both because I like being alone and I also like being married. And so does he. I commute into the city every day and have work friends and colleagues. Angelica is a kindergarten teacher in a disadvantaged city about 45 minutes from our wealthy suburb. She got the house and alimony in the divorce. She's basically my only friend in town because I don't really fit into the mold of yummy mummy in Lululemon, if you know what I mean. I don't drive a Range Rover. I drive a fucking Porsche convertible.
Go ahead,
girl. My hubs and I love our house, but we don't connect a lot with the locals, and that's fine with us both. Angelica and I became friends because we live on the same street, and her kids would come in and visit me, and it was nice when they were little, and not now, because, as I said, they are louts. Probably too much history, but I guess my problem is this. Every time we get together, we go through the surface conversation of, how's work? How was your trip? How's Luke? My husband, not his real name. Then we talk about her and her problems 90% of the time. It's not that I mind hearing and listening and being a shoulder, but it's such a one-sided friendship. I would like to be able to tell her about the stressors I face in my daily job, or the fact that I hate my mother-in-law because she still wants me to have kids. I'm 44. Enough already! Angelica and I talk about these things a little, but in the face of her issues, recently another arrest for her idiot son,
jeez,
they feel unimportant. Sometimes she'll say, I would love to have your problems. Want to trade? And I'm smart enough to know that this is not a supportive comment. It's a route back to us talking about her. But I feel guilty because her problems are dramatic and difficult, and she is trying so hard to make life work for herself and her kids. And the truth is, I do have a really good life. But I'm getting a little tired of this. We see each other once or twice a month, text a few times a week, so it's not a huge burden, but I'm writing to you, so obviously it's something. Any advice on how to change the dynamic without losing a friend? Thanks so much, from Unpaid Therapist.
This is juicy.
Wow.
So I wrote, top thing I wrote was get thee to a therapist stat. Not you necessarily, Unpaid, but your friend. I don't know how she's still standing after losing her mom, caregiver for her dad, louts for children, divorce, all that other stuff. Yeah. How is she still functioning without having someone to help her put things in perspective? And you're doing that job, but you don't have the qualifications to help her reframe what needs to be reframed.
I will say that I know people and have friends who are also super lovely and smart and wonderful who love hanging from the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't want to change that role mm-hmm. of martyr and savior mm-hmm. for everyone else. Mm-hmm. They love, in some weird way, running themselves ragged for others.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure that Angelica wants to be any different.
Well, I would then say, in earlier episodes, we had our guest star, Dr. Khaleesi, give us some fantastic advice, which was something like, that really sounds awful or terrible or horrible, and how are you planning on handling that? Instead mm-hmm. of coming up with advice to give her about how she should do that. Like, always put it back on her. I've noticed when I do that with people that they are a little flustered because they're hoping to start a bitch fest. This mm-hmm. is a moment where mm-hmm. we can start venting. But I'm putting it back on you to come up with some solutions. So you could try that.
Yeah, you could try that. But I would imagine that in this conversation, Angelica would say, well, here are the many things I've tried that have failed.
Mm-hmm.
And here are the things I'm going to try that probably will fail.
Mm-hmm.
Because my sense is that when you have this life for this long, this is a habit.
Mm-hmm.
And you really have to be committed to changing your habits
right.
of thought and action.
Yes.
In order to have a different life.
Right.
If you're not willing to do that, then I think that someone like Angelica is more comfortable being comfortable
mm-hmm.
than she is really trying serious change.
Right.
Because change is hard and uncomfortable, and having louts for children, you know what that's like, Angelica. You know how to handle that.
Yeah.
You know, they're in their 20s now.
Yeah, yeah. All crashing older teenagers, cars except for the one who's in grad school. It's crazy.
The one good kid who got away.
Got away, exactly.
Notably.
Yeah.
And that, you know, being accustomed to your role as the fixer or the absorber of all ills
mm-hmm.
or the saint is comfortable, and that that if she really wanted to change, then she might be asking you,
mm-hmm.
I'm tired of this. Do you have any suggestions? Because,
sure.
I mean, that is what friends are for. And when one friend is a drama queen,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not saying Angelica manufactures her drama. It sounds like it's organic.
Mm-hmm.
And one friend is super stable.
Mm-hmm.
There is a dynamic imbalance where maybe Angelica is unloading on you because you are so stable,
mm-hmm.
happy, and normal. And this is the dynamic of your friendship. She bitches, you listen.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's perfectly okay for you to say, hey, I'd love to have lunch or drinks or coffee. I have an issue I want to discuss with you. I really need to unburden myself.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have 45 minutes?
Mm-hmm.
And Unpaid Therapist, talk for 40 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't come and say, oh, you know, I've had this issue with a coworker and she's really difficult and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, what's going on with you?
Yeah.
Because I think you probably feed into this dynamic
mm-hmm.
too.
Mm-hmm.
I think you are set up to be the listener, the stable one,
mm-hmm.
the shoulder on which she cries. And I think you need to tell her, I need a switch.
Yeah. Well, and I think you can tell her that if you haven't already, you owe it to yourself to try at least once. to say something like, I value our friendship, and I hope you know that, but I worry that my listening to you is not giving you the support that you might need.
Yeah, that's brilliant.
Do you like that?
Yeah.
And I really think that therapy would help you manage a lot of these issues better.
Yeah.
And if you want, I will help you find someone. And then do that. Help if she's into it.
Right.
Help her find someone. If she is not, then you've set the boundary here that this is not helping you, me listening.
Right.
You know? So you started to set the boundary right there.
And we've said it in past episodes, this is the time, you know, for one to say, I need you.
Mm-hmm.
And I need 40 of the 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
There's also the chance for you to say, listen, you know, you can complain about the kids and all that stuff, but I don't think it's helping. You know what would help?
Yeah.
Let's go to a movie.
Yes.
Let's go to paintball.
Let's spa.
Let's go to a spa.
Right.
Let's go for
right.
a walk and collect maple leaves that are yeah. falling. You know, to get out of that dynamic where she vomits up her problems.
Do things. Do paint night. I did it. It was fun.
Do paint
I created night. This horrible painting that I plan on framing.
We've had craft nights.
Yes. Do craft nights.
You know, where we do really low-level crafts because I'm not really gifted that way.
Neither am I.
But, I mean, Joss, you and I had a situation recently where I was really stressed.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot going on, and I said, like, I'm really stressed, and I'm just kind of, like, bouncing off the walls here. And you said, come to my sketchy massage place.
I did. The one that says no hanky-panky on the wall.
Keep your underpants on.
That's right. Right? That's right.
But it meant a lot to me that you said, okay, you know, Kristen is having a stressful month, and needs to get out of the house and away from the kids or the hubs, however wonderful they may be, and do something different.
Mm-hmm.
And so we did. We went to the sketchy massage place.
Which I love so much.
Amazing massage.
Yeah.
No hanky-panky.
Nope.
And we didn't want a hanky-panky, so it worked out well for everyone. But it was, you know, get you out of your orbit.
Yeah.
There was no talking because we were being pummeled on.
It was fabulous.
Right?
Yeah.
And we left at the end of the hour glowing, relaxed. And I said, thank you. This was amazing. And I went back home a happier person.
Yeah.
I
really like that idea. It's like, do activities.
Do something.
Yeah. Don't just sit over coffee and carp and vent and all the rest.
And I think sometimes, like, you know, you might go for a walk and then you find the same conversation is happening. Mm-hmm. So you go for a guided walk with the park ranger at the state forest, something like that.
And call it self-care because that is what it is.
It is.
Tell her we're going to do more self-care things and then go ziplining.
And, you know, a friend of mine had this really wonderful distinction. She said there's self-care and there's self-numbing.
Yes.
And self-numbing is maybe saying the same things the same way over and over to the same people who are not in a position to be your therapist and give you advice on how to change if you really want to change. Self-numbing could be, I'm going to stay in and eat Cheetos for the entire weekend and watch television.
Mm-hmm.
Self-numbing could be, I'm going to drink this whole bottle of wine by myself tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Self-care is different. I mean, it's indulging sometimes, but it's also, rather than eating the Cheetos again for the third weekend in a row, I will go on that nature hike with the park ranger, or I will call up that YouTube video of gentle yoga. Or I will go to the local college and hear the kids who are majoring in music play in a concert. It's doing something different that is soothing, interesting, that's not just kind of hiding from the world and repeating the same patterns that haven't worked. You say you've been friends with Angelica
15 years?
For 15 years.
Crazy.
And this is the dynamic. It's not helping her.
No.
And And what's at risk for her is the loss of a friendship.
Right, right. And be careful, because the loop that she's in, which is a loop, is really hard for her to break. Therapy could absolutely help her break that loop.
Yeah.
You could mention that to her. If she seems unwilling, then I say go to sketchy spas place, go ziplining, like create activities that you could do that gets her out of herself.
Yeah.
You know?
But again, realize that it's not your job
to
fix her. It's your job to be her friend.
Yeah.
And that's a thin line, I think, for some of us when we are fixers. I mean, you sound like a super accomplished person with your amazing Porsche convertible.
I'm so jealous.
I love that you drive a Porsche and a ton of Land Rovers, and I think I know exactly where you live. you know, I think that you value her friendship and that you care genuinely about her, but you have to acknowledge where your limits are.
Yeah.
And for you to say, look, Angelica, I'm your friend, but I'm not a therapist.
Yeah.
And as much as I want to help you, I can't. I have a friend who doesn't believe in therapy. Mm. And she says, my friends are my therapists. And I said, well, your friends should be your friends.
Yeah. It's not quite fair.
Don't count on them to provide PhD-level advice.
Exactly.
Because what if they get it wrong?
Yeah,
you know?
No kidding.
I mean, their job is to be friendly and supportive and fun and caring. It's not to be, let's construct a life plan for you.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the things that people go through, Angelica in particular, we as lay people aren't equipped.
Right.
There are methodologies and strategies that it takes years and dissertations to learn and become good at. And so you take advantage of that. This is not something that me, the regular person, can actually help you with.
Right.
Even if I can listen, there's more that can be done that can help you.
Even if you have wisdom to offer, I think when you pay someone to give you advice, you're more prone to listen to
it. I agree.
That's just my, you know, my take on it.
No,
but
I do agree.
You sound like a wonderful person, and she's lucky to have you.
Yeah.
But you need to take care of yourself as well.
Yeah.
So good luck.
Good luck indeed.
Now, Joss.
Kristen.
It's time.
I have written down. I have it written down right here.
Go ahead.
It's not my problem.
Oh. Oh, we're putting this all on me, are we?
It's not my issue.
It's time for embarrassing personal problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, so a conversation recently turned toward stomach distress. As it does.
As it happens, that's right.
And I was reminded of an incident, shall we call it, when I was on the Cape this February. Mm-hmm. Now, as you know, and some of our listeners know, I rented a teeny little house overlooking the ocean in a moment of desperation because I had 1 month to finish a book that I had been working on for a year.
Mm-hmm.
And this happens sometimes. So I was alone with Luther, my beloved dog. And sometimes when one travels... And one is in an unfamiliar bathroom. One finds oneself with a bowels and a knot. What can I say? So I turned to the medical field.
As one does.
And I bought gummy bears to aid in digestion.
Oh, there is such a thing?
Yeah.
Oh.
And they were really good.
I bet.
And because I was only there for a month, like I didn't have my usual.
Right.
Candy. I didn't have my chocolates.
Right.
I didn't have my usual creature comforts. But I did have a jar of gummy bears that I forgot had some laxative qualities to them. So one night I was just sitting there watching TV with Luther and I ate far too many. And, you know, I was thinking, like, oh, these guys don't work. I had been eating, like, one or two a day in hopes of, like, regulating the bowels. And, you know, it hadn't been working. So I thought, like, they're just fake.
Yeah.
So I'll just enjoy them for the sugar that they are. So, like, the recommended dose is, like, 1 to 2 a day. I probably ate 20.
You fool!
Then I went to bed and then woke up with this incredibly distended stomach. You could have drummed on me. I was a snare drum. Never had such tight abs in my life. And I thought, oh dear, this is going to be bad.
Yeah, yeah.
But in recognizing my incoming distress, I brought my phone into the bathroom.
Good for you.
Because I thought, I think I'm going to pass out. And Joss, pass out I did. Seated on the toilet.
Nice. Well done.
I passed out. Woke up a little while later on my phone. A podcast was playing. I had triggered the podcast function. Suffice it to say, I lost about 5 pounds.
Of course you did.
And for the next day, I said, you know, I am sick of the dog. I had to go to, for the first time ever, and you know, I'm pretty open about wearing pajamas and stuff, but for the first time ever, I went to Cumberland Farms. I went to anywhere in my pajamas.
Yep.
At 7 o'clock in the morning, sweaty. God knows what my hair looked like, smudged glasses on, and bought
stuff.
I bought stuff. I bought Pepto-Bismol. Yeah, and I ripped it open at the counter and chugged it.
Yeah, yeah.
And the person's like, feel better, babe. Yeah. You know? And went back home and slept on the couch for a few hours.
Yeah.
So when we talk about self-care, don't be like Kristen.
You know, mind the gummies.
Mind the gummy bears. Take care of oneself and eat more roughage. Readers, send us your embarrassing personal problems.
Oh my God, yes, because I've run out, right?
No, we've got one. You got one coming. She can pretend to be Grace Poison Elegance, but listen, it's what, September, August? You know, it's been a long time. Joss is cracking. The GPE facade is cracking. Yeah, send us, listen. I just shared with you one of the most painful,
that was
distended bowel nights of my life.
That was serious business.
It's time to pony up
and
send us yours.
It is.
And you know what? I think we should give a prize. Don't you?
I love that idea.
All right. We're going to send a signed copy of our latest books to the best.
EPP.
Embarrassing personal problems.
I love that idea.
Send your embarrassing personal problems to the ladies at crappyfriends.net. Thank you. And have a wonderful night.
Thanks for listening to Crappy Friends. Don't forget to subscribe to Crappy Friends and consider leaving us a review. Email us your friend stories at theladies@crappyfriends.net. I'm Kristen Higgins.
And I'm Just A.
And we're best friends
forever.